I've entitled this lesson tonight, A Love Letter from Jesus. But before we get to that, I want to talk about his life on earth, who he is, what he did while he was here, and maybe what he would say today if he were here standing talking to us. I'd like to start in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Again, that's Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. We learn from these passages that Jesus' life on here on earth started with a miraculous conception. Now, we don't know much about his childhood aside from one instance in Luke. If you would, please turn with me to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41. Again, that's Luke 2, starting in verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. As stated here, Jesus was only 12 years old when he started astounding others, as verse 47 says, and began to reveal what he was here to do. Now please turn with me back to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. As we see here, Jesus is being tempted, but he doesn't give in to the temptation. We are given an example here by Jesus of how to correctly handle temptation. He uses scripture to fight against the temptation placed before him by Satan. Jesus didn't do this just once, but three times. He used God's word to combat the wiles of the devil. So after this account in Matthew, we start to read of Jesus' teachings, and I'd like to look at just a few examples of what Jesus taught. Please turn with me to Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here we see what attitudes Jesus commends: humility, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, being peaceable with others, and having purity of heart. We also read in Matthew 5, verses 38 through 48, that Jesus wants us to love our enemies and be willing to go above and beyond for others to develop the kind of love that Jesus displays for all of us. So, again, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now please turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Matthew 18, 10 through 14. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Jesus reveals here just how important we are to him and our Heavenly Father. He speaks over the rejoicing over the one soul saved and how the Father wishes for none of us to perish, but for all of us to come to him. Jesus also performed miracles while he was on earth. He did this to confirm who he said he was and because of his compassion for the people, as we can see in John 20, 30 through 31, Matthew 20, 34, and Mark 5, 19. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Matthew 9, 1 through 8. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Here Jesus heals a paralytic and forgives him of his sins. Again, keep reading with me down in verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. This woman didn't even directly ask Jesus to heal her, but only touched the hem of his garment and was healed. These are just a few of the many examples we have of Jesus' healing. I also want to look at a couple of examples of his power. Please turn with me to Matthew 8, 23 through 27. It's Matthew 8, 23 through 27. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Now turn with me to Matthew 14, verses 25 through 32. Now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. We read from both of these passages that Jesus has complete power over nature. He can cause the wind and the sea to calm and can walk and even allow others to walk on water. His power shown in these two passages alone is incredible. We see the fullness of God in him through all of these examples. So now on to the sacrificial love he's shown us. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 through 50. Again, that's Matthew 27, 27 through 50. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his clothes on and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if you will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was a darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. I'd like to look at a verse in Luke's account of the crucifixion. Luke 23, verse 34. Again, verse 34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." As Jesus is suffering through this, and as he is in pain, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His focus is on the very ones who are putting him to death. As all this is going on, and he's dying a horrible death, he's not focusing on the pain, or the inability to breathe, or any of his suffering. His focus is on the forgiveness of others. He didn't want to do this, as we see in Matthew 26, but he did because his love for us is that great. His desire for our reconciliation to the Father moves him to be the only suitable and perfect sacrifice for our sins. However, this isn't the end of the story. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 16, verses 4 through 14. And that's Mark 16, 4 through 14. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Jesus left heaven, came down to earth, lived a perfect life, died a painful death, and rose from the dead, so that we may have a hope of eternal life in heaven. He now reigns as Lord and Judge, as Romans 14, 10 through 12, and John 5, 22 shows us. Through this very brief account on Jesus' life on earth, we know who he is and what he did for us. We see the life he lived. We see the example he set. We see his love and compassion for his people. And we see a devotion to his Father's will like none other. So if you didn't know very much about Jesus, I hope this has piqued your interest. The Bible is full of so much more of who this Savior is and his desire for our salvation, and why he is so deserving of our commitment and devotion and sacrifice. So, what might he say if he were here talking to you right now? I've put together passages spoken directly by Jesus from the four Gospels, and this is where we get back to the title of this lesson. These words he speaks are words of love and words of encouragement and desire for you to choose a life devoted to him in response to the sacrifice he made by the will of the Father. I hope each of us will listen and carefully consider what he says. Even if you have already been buried with baptism with him, these words are for all of us. Jesus deserves our best because God gave us the best of heaven when he gave us Jesus. Jesus willingly left heaven to come to this earth and be the perfect sacrifice to save our souls. He did this because he loves us and wants us to love and follow him. So here it is, a love letter from Jesus. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. and where I go you know, and the way you know. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and not be able. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. These words are directly from the one we have discussed in this lesson, the same one who suffered and died for you. So, how will you answer this loving Savior? If you desire to accept the gift of salvation that he has offered, the way to do that is first hear the word, believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, repent of your sins, confess him before men, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then strive to live your life faithfully to him. If you have need to not, we hope you will come forward as we stand and sing.